Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. To be successful, business marketers need to work alongside professionals from many other disciplines. But what's the perspective of those professionals on us? What do they like about business marketers? What annoys them? And what do they want to change? I'm delighted to be joined today by Enterprise Account Executive at Octopost, Louise Surley. Louise, welcome to our podcast.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Really looking forward to this conversation.
Okay. No pressure there then. So before we get started, tell us, where do we find you today?
So I am in a village just outside of Chelmsford in Essex, working from home. So you've caught me on a day where I'm not in the office in London, which is saves a couple of hours every day.
And are you in the kind of balance in the week between working from home and working in the office? Is it broadly 50-50?
If you need me in London, I'm there Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Okay. So we also, in terms of the positioning, it'd be good and maybe then for you to tell us a bit about what Octopost does.
Yeah, so Octopost is a SaaS software solution. So one that I'm super passionate about, and it's a social engagement suite for B2B marketers. So what that means is that B2B companies can manage their social media, publishing, advocacy, all their analytics and social listening all in one place, saving loads of time and showing the company exactly what you're doing.
Cool. And your role is one that, so what usually when I'm doing these interviews, somebody or the person I'm speaking with will be saying, oh yes, I'm a marketing director, or I'm a marketing manager, or so. You are an enterprise account executive, so you'll have to explain to us non-enterprise account executives what that actually means.
Really fair point, Dave. And the funny thing is that as someone that's now worked in the B2B marketing world for almost 10 years, account executive, I know, is one of the most junior roles that you can have within marketing quite often. So to actually be 10 years into my B2B marketing career and still be called an account executive often causes questions. So happy to explain. So my role is actually on the other side of the fence to most of the people that will be listening to this. And I actually work in the sales department. I can't hear any boos and hisses. So I'm glad this is a podcast.
I'll feed it back to you afterwards.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. So working in the sales side of things, my role is really to support companies and marketers through the evaluation of their social media tools, really giving them the opportunity to see the art of what is possible with Octopost.
And what do you enjoy about that role? How, you know, what is it that keeps you fired up? And if you've been doing it, if you've been doing this kind of thing for 10 years, there must be something in it.
Something. Well, firstly, it's just about the fact that getting my role, I actually get to speak to B2B marketers every single day. So I jokingly sometimes say that I've spoken to more B2B marketers than most B2B marketers. Typically speaking, with one or two new people every day at least. So it's really that kind of fostering of a community and understanding that there's a lot of companies that will have similar challenges on a day-to-day basis. And then also being able to provide that consultative service to maybe supporting companies to understand things that they didn't already know were possible,
right,
especially with Octopos, because social media has always been so disconnected from the marketing funnel, whereas Octopos is able to push all of that into your marketing automation platform to see who's engaging on your social. So being able to actually solve that genuine problem in terms of attribution and audience segmentation and scoring, you can use social to do that. And so I love the wow moments during the Octopos demonstrations of that just people going, I genuinely didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know it was possible. So that's what I get my kicks from at the moment.
And is it usually, if you talk about speaking to business marketers every day or thereabouts, so when you're talking to them, are you largely talking to them about the way in which they would use Octopos, or is it kind of a broader conversation than that?
It's a far broader conversation, and I'm sure that you've been on the receiving end of it when you just want to find a price out for something, and you send a demo request, you just want to see the top level overview, and you want a price to make an informed decision. I'm unfortunately the gatekeeper to that, and the reason why I play that role is because often when people are looking for a solution, especially in this demand generation world, you don't generally know 100% exactly what you're looking for. Yeah. And every tool that you look at will have nuances in terms of differentiation. So I really enjoy the first conversation, no screen sharing, just might as well grab a coffee. Let's have a chat about what your business is looking to achieve, where social media might fit in with those objectives, and actually what's going on the outside of that. So what other projects are important? Is there a website development program that's been ongoing for way too long and spent too much money on? Or is there maybe something going on in terms of digital marketing? Because there are other things that you can help out with instead of just ring fencing it to the social media conversation.
Okay, and I want to come back in a while to how you talk to and work with business marketers and your perspectives on them. But before we get to that, can you just tell us a little bit about your career journey? How is it that you got to being enterprise account executive?
So my sales career was pretty much started straight out of school, working in retail, selling suits at Moss Brothers. And I loved that job and got invited to all the weddings. So then from that point, I started working actually in a call center selling subprime mortgages in 2007. Yeah. But selling subprime mortgages in 2007 wasn't exactly the most stable of career choices to have made. So after redundancy, surprisingly enough, I ended up in recruitment, and that was my first proper step into the world of B2B sales.
Right.
The job move after that then took me to what was at the time the UK's largest B2B telemarketing company, where I was in a field sales role. And that's where I started off meeting people within the B2B marketing world. A couple of job changes later, I've sold full service marketing agency services. I've sold predictive analytics software. And that's brought me to where I am right now at Octopos. Right.
Your role for much of that period then has given you a pretty interesting perspective on us, on business marketers. So without being too rude, what do you think of us then?
Yeah, so my first kind of real memory of my first perception is that I never realized that B2B marketers were so insecure that they didn't work in B2C is the first thing to say, and all the glitz and the glamour and the budgets of B2C marketing. So that was kind of the first thing that the BMC taught me, I would say. And then sort of moving beyond that, it's that actually marketers are constantly faced with that challenge around working with sometimes the egos of salespeople and really strong characters in other areas of the business. So I've certainly been an advocate through a lot of the conversations that I've had of actually trying to build confidence in the people that I'm meeting with to say, actually, if this is a project that's really important to you, then let me as the salesperson be the resource to you to provide the confidence for you to pitch this internally within the company. So I would definitely say that there's that thing about B2B not being B2C, but also B2B marketers, there is a really significant seat that B2B marketers should have at the table and should be on boards and should be really influencing the entire strategy of a company. But actually what I recognize is that sometimes the voice that shouts loudest is sometimes sales, which might then end up trumping the fantastic opportunities that B2B marketers might have.
I never expected us to be put in the psychiatrist chair quite so early in this.
You did ask.
I did ask, yeah. What could business marketers do better, do you think, and why?
So I think to bang the same drum that we've been banging for probably 10, 15 years now, probably longer, sales marketing alignment is so critical in the success of everyone's objectives. I've experienced companies where there's been a lot of finger pointing around that quality over quantity discussion, marketing being pushed to achieve their KPIs, sales being pushed to achieve conversions and achieving revenue objectives. So I've got a real passion that the sales and marketing alignment is such a topic that needs to still be worked on and improved. And that's what I think that confidence from B2B marketers is to actually know that your voice is valuable. And the stronger actually a marketing department is, the more successfully your sales team will be able to execute sales. And then everyone wins because marketing gets bigger budgets, sales then obviously will close more deals, everyone develops their careers. There's the company will scale, there'll be management positions that will open up and hierarchies that will improve. So sales and marketing alignment of not feeling like different departments, but realizing that actually you're all trying to row the boat in the same direction.
And you make the benefits sound so obvious that it therefore seems a bit strange that over the last, well, it's more than 10 years, isn't it? It's not worked. Why isn't it as intuitive as all that?
My perception with that is that where a lot of organizations still haven't aggregated the revenue role into one position, you have got different departments still competing for different budgets. You've got different departments. Sales are wanting budget for headcount. Marketing are wanting budget for headcount. And you're in a position where there is an opportunity to point fingers at each department. And whilst a board or a CEO, whoever, can't see that those two things are working in harmony, they look like completely different things. Joining the dots between the two and actually working in synergy between those, actually you'll win the board over more successfully by working together.
So how would you advise marketers to get started on that?
There's a certain element of accountability from both parts that it's when you are working in separate departments, it's really easy just to kind of draw up a list of facts of, well, this is like this and that's like that. Whereas actually, if there's something that is challenging in a relationship or there is an objective that is misaligned between the two departments, it's just confronting that head on. And realizing that, yeah, as I mentioned a moment ago, everyone wins if you confront those different challenges and everyone has better job security and everyone's results will perform better.
Okay. I guess it's understanding, therefore, that both sides of the equation need to make change and need to be kind of motivated to change for it to be able to work, right?
Definitely. And the interesting thing with a sales team is that there's all the sales linguistics training that might have been done and the art of persuasion and ways that actually salespeople could influence a conversation to their ultimate objective. But that's where then personal development and accountability is really important for marketers to say, if this is something that I've come up against a number of times before, then how am I able to upskill and actually win this battle this time?
Yeah.
But actually using the word battle is probably the wrong thing, because it is about trying to find a mutually beneficial outcome.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, it's no wonder we're so insecure, right? If we're in a position in which sales are going to use their persuasion techniques to get their own way. How do sales view it?
So on the flip side of things with sales, I've done an awful lot of work in terms of the psychology of motivation and, of course, working in sometimes quite a roller coaster of a job. You have to learn those techniques to manage your own pipeline, manage your own kind of well-being, and also just kind of keep your head down and keep going forwards. So having that level of pressure that you know that what you're going to earn on a month-to-month basis can sometimes feel quite unstable. And when, of course, things feel unstable, it's really easy to look outwardly as to kind of what are the external environmental factors that are causing this. So that can mean within the sales industry that there could be finger pointing back to the marketing team, unfortunately. And that doesn't help anyone, because it doesn't foster a positive relationship, a solutions focused approach to say, OK, if this is the situation, it doesn't matter whose fault it is, but this is the way that we can actually change that. So I would definitely say from a being on the sales side of it, it can be really challenging to not maybe sometimes get the lead volume that you need from a marketing department in historic roles. But then what we would then do is see how much we could generate in terms of an outbound approach, which then kind of comes on to the next thing, that actually selling to B2B marketers is so challenging because of that change in strategy to more of a demand gen focused approach than lead generation. That shift in the B2B marketing dynamic has meant that marketers are actually naturally less receptive to cold approaches, because the way to do it now is demand generation. It's around education. So outbound has become more challenging, which is where it's so then important to become an expert in the industry that you're in, to very quickly drop something into conversation that's going to spark the imagination and demonstrate that you're genuinely there to help.
And is that the thing that has encouraged you to kind of do, in my experience, actually something quite unusual for somebody who sits on the sales side, which is to actually go and meet marketers? Is it the switch to demand gen that has been the thing that has kind of forced you to go out and meet these insecure, not we?
And I almost found that when speaking with B2B marketers, I found my tribe, and that's a really weird thing to say. I would definitely align myself more as a marketer in a way than a salesperson. So a marketing consultant would go in and evaluate lots of different things within a company and then make the recommendations. I do exactly the same thing. It's just that I'm generally only got one thing to provide to that company. But it's interesting you say about, has that shift been the thing that's moved me to wanting to be part of that community more? And I don't think it was. Selfishly, when early on in my career, it was probably that I could pick up some leads at an event and I could worm my way into these events where there's a fantastic prospect list of people to speak with. What I then learned, of course, is that networking is far, far, far more than a list of leads. And people that are just looking for that are going to fall on their bums really, really quickly, and you're not going to win friends. So after attending the BMC and similar events on a number of occasions, I really found a community of people that I genuinely enjoyed hanging out with. And I could offer a different perspective, but I also learn an awful lot. And the more I've learned, the more successful I've been able to be in my career, because I've been able to take back those conversations into that consultant role that I have with my clients.
Okay. And how can marketers understand your world better? Is there something that you would encourage us, for example, to read to be able to get into your heads, to be able to empathize more with your position?
So I think one of the kind of almost like a catch-all of understanding more about the role of sales, understanding how the actual sales conversation could continue. A really useful one is actually a book called Sales EQ by a guy called Jeb Blount, surname spelled B-L-O-U-N-T. And he's written a number of sales books, Fanatical Prospecting, Virtual Selling, and quite a few. Whereas what's fantastic about Sales EQ, it's all about the emotional side of selling, and that people make decisions based on gut and on emotion, and then you justify with logic. And so what's been really useful from a sales standpoint is that that's upskilled my own skills dramatically. But for anyone that's doing copywriting, or for anyone that's thinking about the sales funnel and how do we capture emotion and a lead opportunity at each level, certainly tapping into the emotional side of intelligence in that book will be really, really fascinating. And the second one would be a book called The Challenger Sale by Matthew Dixon. You're smiling, not everyone can see this, but you're smiling as though it's one that you know of.
I think it's in my bookcase behind me, actually.
I've listened to it. It's a brilliant book. And when I was in a traveling sales role, I fell in love with audiobooks. And it's been a way that you can really efficiently build personal development into your everyday, whether you're cooking, driving, getting ready in the morning, commuting these days. But The Challenger Sale was really, really insightful, because at the really early start part of my career, you don't just want to be selling apples against other companies that are selling apples. Actually, that's the thing that I think was probably actually the catalyst to me wanting to know more about the B2B marketing community, because you learn that actually, if you try and sell exactly what someone wants, you're just competing against every other company that's doing the same thing. But The Challenger Sale is all about taking a step back to really understand what else can you solve for during this conversation.
And given that you're a salesperson and you've managed to hold back, and I think I only mentioned Octopost 6 or 7 times, can you this is your moment for the harder sell. How can people find out more about Octopost? What should they do?
Yeah, I'm really easy to find on LinkedIn, and you can do that just by searching for me, so Louise Surley on LinkedIn, or my handle is actually LouiseB2B.
Fabulous, and not subliminal at all. Louise Surley, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Louise Surley. Thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.